Welcome to The Optimistic Artist. I'm Monique Story, artist, creative entrepreneur, and whiskey enthusiast. I'm deeply passionate about helping artists find their possible by bringing the clarity, strategy, and inspiration you need to turn that art hobby of yours into a thriving art business. After many sold-out collections, I've learned a thing or two about marketing art whilst also thriving as a mum and creative. Marketing tips, productivity hacks, artist mindset, finances, failure, we cover it all as you hear from myself and other experts in the field. Whatever creative dreams you've got hidden in your heart, I am here to tell you it is possible. So get ready, my friend. This is The Optimistic Artist. Jess, thank you so much for being on the show. It's so good to have you here. I'm so grateful and so excited to hear from you today.
Well, thank you so much for having me here today. I love talking to artists and I love all the podcasts that are directly for our people. So I'm really grateful to be here today too. Thanks.
Oh, amazing. Now, I love a good origin story. So why don't you start by quickly telling us how you became an artist and why?
Sure. That is a favorite story. I love origin stories too, because it gives people context for how we look at the world through that unique lens of our history and our experience. I really knew I was going to be an artist from about second grade. And I started selling professionally at the age of 16. I was really young. Focus, I will talk a lot about intentional focus later on in the podcast, but I knew, and kind of when you know something, how important it is to step into action. So I was doing boutiques in high school, and so that jazzed me up to pursue fine arts in college. And, you know, I loved everything that I could explore with that. But what I didn't like was feeling a little bit boxed in. And I ended up taking a year off of college and I started teaching right away. I was babysitting and then that turned to teaching kids, which evolved into working mainly on commissions for galleries and then teaching this whole neighborhood. And really, I ended up teaching all the moms. So I started my first little company at the age of, you know, 20, 21 maybe. And that was incredible because I got to live the life of like the fine artist showing in galleries. And that was my early introduction into teaching others and how powerful that is to give other people the tools and the skills to change their lives. And I was hooked. Fast forward a few years, I was married, had my first few kids. Because I had three little kids at that point, I started illustrating, which turned into licensing my art to manufacturers. And that was my second company. So I had an art licensing company for the years that I was having 0 to 7 children, all born within 9 years. And that was the way I could really, you know, kind of keep my hands in the game. And by licensing my illustrations to manufacturers, I was able to get royalties from that. Then when I had my 7th baby, I just couldn't keep up with that industry because it was very timeline specific. And I took a couple years off and just really poured into my little kids, spent a lot of time just looking at how we learn and where does creativity come from and watching the art that my children created. And I accidentally started another company called Kids Art. And that was born because our pediatrician asked for some paintings for his doctor's office. And he said, well, I want something that's going to be, you know, people will really resonate from it from all ages. And I thought, well, art that we create as children is so archetypal. And what better thing than to start with that? So I projected one of my children's drawings on a huge canvas and approached it through the lens of a 4-year-old, but with the technical skills of a fine artist. And it blew up. Like that concept just went crazy. That was around 2011, I think, 2010. And yeah. So that had its run. It ended up going into designing a therapeutic arts program for a children's hospital locally in the city that I live in, and going in and working with children with cancer and their families to create, you know, I had the child create their own drawing, and because they had, you know, terminal illness, it really, that collaborative exchange was really powerful. And I would go back and just follow the instructions, whatever colors they gave me, I would create a digital painting based on their drawing and then have it professionally printed. And we do a big reveal. And I bring that up really to share with your listeners how many possibilities there are to be profitable as an artist. The messaging out there is that artists will starve and you're crazy if you're going to go be a professional artist. Artists don't make money. And I really am here to say that there are limitless ways to be profitable and have a sustainable business out there at all stages. You know, as a mother, as a wife, and since then, I'm since divorced and on my own. And that is really where my fourth company and my most treasured, like my whole life experience of, you know, really life bringing me to my knees in 2018 and how that's turned into the purest art I've ever created and what I've learned from that adversity in what it takes to really identify our dreams and go after it. So I know that was long-winded, but that's like the summary of 27 years of art business for me.
No, I love that. I feel like we are on the same page. I just am so passionate about this idea of possibility and looking for possibility in whatever season you're in. You know, sometimes we think that being a successful artist can only look one way, but that's such a limiting belief. As soon as we start to look for the possibility in the season that we are in, whether it's a season of grief or busyness or tiny humans or whatever season we are in, there is possibility to pursue a creative career. So I love that. So, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all my favorite words are in there. It's possibilities, opportunities, like doorways to really abundant living at every season. And it doesn't have to link to money. It doesn't have to link to full time, all out. You know, it can be in those like stolen moments in between nap time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's what the podcast is all about. So I know that for you, you saw a huge amount of success and growth as an artist through media coverage. And I know that's such a major way that you help artists is by helping them do the same. So I'm really excited to pick your brain and to learn more about media coverage and how this can help artists. So why don't you start by telling us, what do you mean by media coverage and why do you think it's such a powerful tool for artists to leverage?
Yes, this is my favorite part because it's like I'm giving the hidden secret to everybody. When we think media, so many people think, oh, social media. Yeah, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. I'm on there, you know, and they may think, well, it's not bringing me sales. And what I'm really speaking to is more mainstream media, how anybody at any stage of life or experience in any career field, especially artists, can pitch themselves to TV, magazines, print articles, digital articles, podcast interviews like this one, and share their expertise and vision and their creativity with the rest of the world. It's really possible. And I never knew that until about 18 months ago when I landed my first, you know, it was a very tiny audience podcast, and realized the power of story, you know, and going back to the Kids Art to Canvas work that I had done with each child, it was really about the stories we have to tell as human beings and our unique perspective, our unique thoughts, our ideas, the creativity it takes to, you know, everybody has a unique perspective based on their own life experience. And that is really what it's about, is looking at the things that we've done, both personal life and professional life, that are newsworthy, that are going to turn around and help someone that might be a few years behind you in whatever aspect that is. And then once you gain the media, knowing how to really leverage the coverage to link the media opportunities to sales or whatever it is that your goal is. I was really fascinated in the beginning with just what happens when I share my story. So it wasn't very targeted. But what I know, there are really four things that I've come to know. And that is, number one, people buy the artist, not the art. So yes. It is like really about connection. It's about connection to ourselves, connection to the art we create, and then connection to an audience that goes from curious to collecting because they've fallen in love with us as human beings, not just the art. And I tell all of my artists in my program, you know, that each of one is like a gem or a diamond with so many facets on everything. And it's so, in my history, I was an athlete. I'm a mom of seven. I happen to be in recovery. You know, I have all these facets of my story that different people in different audiences are connecting to. And people from all of those audiences have ended up buying my artwork because they're connected to my story. Artists are selling an emotional experience. We're selling our vision, our unique perspective of the world. We're just sharing it non-verbally. It's a visual communication. And so when they feel connected, they very, very often turn into collectors. And then so that leads to the next one. Visibility is the number one foundation for sales. And I'm an introvert. Almost all the artists I know are a little bit on the more introverted or sensitive side and not necessarily comfortable in front of camera or putting ourselves out there because of, you know, the haters and the judges and the critics and all of that. And so media is really like pressing that hot button on what it takes to be seen and heard. Not just in the media, but for ourselves in our life, you know, so we can advocate and go for our bigger dreams. It's just the visibility mindset of being visible and connected is a very different energy of openness than being, you know, like I wanted to be, hidden away in my studio, nobody bothers me, creating for hours, all of that stuff. But it just opened my eyes and my heart and my world to incredible people. It's all about relationships. And, you know, people buy from people they know, like, and trust. And that trust piece, that final piece, is where media, social proof and media credibility and authority. There's nothing that screams authority like as seen in Forbes, as seen on, you know, this TV station and all of that stuff. And that is where I've been able to leverage the media coverage that I've gained very quickly into people that don't necessarily know me right away. I don't know, who is this woman? Do I trust her? Well, I can go read about her in that article. I can go watch her on national TV. I can see what she's about. And I have a lot of financial success because of leveraging that media visibility. And that's really why I'm so passionate. There's so many reasons I'm passionate about it. But it is something that I don't know of anybody else teaching specifically to artists how to get in the media. It's free. You know, once you learn the skill, it's a free opportunity that you can leverage for the rest of your entire career. So it's really worthy of, you know, learning how to do and, you know, reaching for that bigger thing. Plus it feels good. It's fun. I mean, that's part of the joy of all of it, is the energy of being interviewed and being scared to death the first time and then finding out that so much fun. And I want that for all of my artists. I want the fun. I want them to experience that doorway of opportunity that media really is the first door. Once you get your foot in that door and it opens up, there are book deals on the other side. There are opportunities for speaking. There's, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
Love that. I think for artists need to remember that the secret to their story is who they are. So I actually have a episode that's all about artists uncovering their story and telling it in a way that turns their followers into collectors. So yes. If you, to the people that are listening, to the listeners, I would so encourage you to go back to that episode because I actually run it like a workshop. I have a free workbook that goes along with the episode because sometimes we think, okay, great. Yes, we know stories are powerful, but how do I find my story? What's my story? And how do I tell it in a way that actually connects with collectors? So yes. I just love listening to you talk because I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I'm so passionate about our story is our superpower.
It is.
We don't have to compare. We don't have to pretend to be anybody else. We just need to discover, okay, what is my story? What is unique about me, my work, my why? And how can I tell that to connect with collectors? I kind of see it as having a whole bunch of hooks. So collectors and people want to connect with you as an artist, but you need to give them something to connect to. So our story is such a powerful way to connect to people. So I love hearing you talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's so much alignment there too, because one of the biggest objections I have from people is, well, I don't have a story. And that is where cultivating that and showing people, walking them through the steps to kind of identify the highlights of their, you know, it's the gift that keeps giving. And it's really the mindset that evolves as a result of looking into this world, you know, of story, of connection, of the relationship that you have with yourself. And what I've seen in my artists though that I work with is incredible growth internally that really magnetizes their people to them because they have stepped in and embraced who they are. They are confident in their story, in their message, in the art they create, and they're confident sharing that with the world in a way that they weren't prior to. And that turns into collectors and sales and all of the possibilities, creating digital products, everything that kind of comes when you get clear about who you are, you get really solid and fall in love with who you are and can go out there. And whether it's social media or mainstream media, it's really wrapped around serving others by the power of story, you know, creating something that's connectable, that's valuable to other people to learn from.
I love that. And I think, I don't know about you, but I have definitely found as I'm talking to artists that they have this idea of, oh no, I can't possibly promote myself or do any marketing. The art should speak for itself. But there's no other profession where they just expect their work to speak for themselves. A plumber doesn't expect their ability to speak for themselves. They market, they share their skills, they do the brochures or whatever. And artists is the same. We can't expect people to understand the value of our work via osmosis.
Right.
You know, we need to use story as a way to help people understand what is unique about us, about our work. Why is it valuable? Why is it worth investing? So 100%. I love that.
Yeah, it is. I want to say just one thing, and that is that self-promotion is our responsibility. It is absolutely our responsibility because the marketplace, the world is moving at high speed, and it is our responsibility to stand out there and jump up and down if we need to say, you know, here it is. This is going to change your life in meaningful ways, and to have that confidence and also not being attached to what people think or feel, you know, like being really detached from other people's opinions. It's true freedom to be able to do that. And it allows, you know, the visibility difference between social media and mainstream media is numbers. You know, if you think of the metaphor of a light bulb, you know, social media might be a light bulb of visibility. You can see it in a room, maybe up to a street light. You know, a bunch of people on your street can see that. But you get on national TV in front of 43 million people, and that is like fireworks display above a huge city. It can be seen, like it's visible from miles and miles and miles around. And that is, that's huge. That's everything. It grows your email list. It's all of it. But it is really about the courage to go out there and say, my story is worthy. You know, my work is worthy, and I'm going to promote it and do it without caring. It's it is definitely everything.
Okay, tell us more. How do we do this? What are the steps? Yes, if someone's looking to leverage media to grow their audience, where should they start?
Right. So I love the power of intention and deliberate focus on things and research. So it's really about identifying the target, your target. You know, we've got to know what we're shooting for. So it is really about doing the research. Low-lying fruit could be your local town or city that you live in. What's a newspaper or a morning show or magazines or anything locally that is looking for content? That is the other shift that artists need to realize, is that we are doing the media a favor by giving them more content, because as you know, the world closed up and locked down, everyone started reading all their news online, and media really started diversifying itself into more and more specific topics. And so it's really about identifying whether you want to be on a podcast, on TV, newspaper, whatever that's going to be, honing that down to your top 10 list, and then picking a topic or a story that is going to be relevant to that audience that that outlet talks to. Finding the contact who, you know, either the editor or the producer who works at that media. And then identifying the hook, you know, how are you going to pitch your email to that contact? And it's really about, you know, the goal with that is to get your emails to be opened. And to do that, having a strong hook in the subject line is probably the most important thing. And then from there, it's really about if they don't open it, following up with them a week later. Mm-hmm. And if it's a no, I tell everybody a no is just a not yet. Persistence and relationship building, you know, understanding that that journalist or producer is a real person in real life, their pace, their schedule's jam-packed, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. it's a matter of the yes is in the follow-up, you know, and I recommend following up 1 week apart. And then building a relationship, looking into who they are, you know, making sure you spell their name correctly, find them on social media and engaging, read their articles, comment on the other work that they do, and leave meaningful comments and start conversations with people. I mean, everything in sales, whether it's art sales or a plumber out there, it's really about building relationships with people. Money flows mm-hmm. through people. So everything about this is learning to communicate and then picking, identifying kind of the target of our goal and lasering in our focus and honing a story and a message and a topic that's relevant and meaningful, and then going for it. You know, even if you think it's a no, go for it, because it's really taking that action to work the muscle of being outside your comfort zone all the time. Mm-hmm. I never want to be comfortable, because I know I'm not growing if I'm comfortable. And it's really, you know, following through with those steps over and over and over. Pick your media target, pick your topic, find your contact, pitch them, follow up with them, build relationships, keep track of it. And do it consistently, and eventually you're going to get a yes. And mm-hmm. once you get that first yes, at the bottom of my emails, I can say, as seen in NBC, ABC, you know, XY, all of that. And I have that leverage.
How important is it to just not give up, right?
Oh my, it's everything with any dream that you have. It's the willingness. That's the one thing that can't be taught. And I talk about this a lot. Willingness must come from within. And you never know what's going to cause it. Sometimes it's when the pain is great enough, we're willing to change our behavior. Or when we're educated enough about something and see the growth that could happen. You know, sometimes that inspires willingness from within. But without that willingness, it's very hard to commit. You know, if you want to dabble in this, most people want to dabble at the first sign of adversity or it getting challenging. they tend to give up. And yeah. and my goal for all of my artists is to just keep going, because the sky is the limit on the other side of really understanding how to communicate in the virtual online world and in the mainstream media to really build. And I don't even like the word followers. I think of them as people I want to be connected to. It's all
yes,
about
connections.
It's a two-way thing. It isn't just, well, I need more followers, you know, and I need people to just pat me on the back and say they like me. You know, that's just vanity at that point. It's really when you want to serve the world through your art, through your writing, through whatever it is. It's a two-way exchange of, you know, relating to each other.
That's one of my biggest, I guess, values that I live my life by and that I love inspiring others with, is that our success is defined by our response to failure.
Absolutely.
And I think it comes down to perspective and expectation, because mm-hmm. if we expect that we'll never fail, then we're setting ourselves up for a disaster, because failure yeah. is a prerequisite to success. I Absolutely. Can't think of a single person that's achieved anything without first having to walk through failure. Mm-hmm. We cannot be afraid of failure, or we will never reach our potential and we'll never reach our dreams. And it's so freeing when you realize that. Like, once you realize that failure is just part of achieving your dreams, then you can stop being afraid of it, so that when you do fail, you do get that no, you do get that rejection, it doesn't floor you, because you mm-hmm. know it's just part of the process. So mm-hmm. I absolutely love hearing that.
Yeah, look, I don't even call it failure anymore. I look at, let's go out and find the learning experiences.
Yes.
Let's push it all the way. Let's find the no. Let's find the rejection. Let's know that we went all the way out there to that point of pushback, where a lot of people would call it failure, but those are the most powerful learning experiences. I've had some painful burns in the last 15 months because my risk tolerance is so high. You know, I am willing to put it all on the line to either learn what I don't want and what I will never do again, or when you get that big win, it can just initiate the momentum to go out there and keep going. I know for me, fear of success is a much more daunting fear than fear of failure.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because I've failed a lot in my life in most people's terms. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes. But it's really the human experience. None of us is perfect. Perfection really doesn't exist. And the idea of being really successful financially, being really visible, you know, that is the thing to consider when people are like, well, I need to just build a bigger following, then I'll be successful. You know, can you handle negativity or criticism? Are you ready to handle the bigger audience? And I think I wasn't ready until this journey of just stepping into it gradually and kind of acclimating to bigger and bigger and bigger audiences, and learning that I have to do the inner work to be able to expand, to hold space for all those people, and to feel like, you know, I can show up authentically grounded and share of myself, you know, often very vulnerably, in a way that's meaningful for that many people. And, you know, it's definitely a journey. And that is where I really don't allow that fear of success to be that fear anymore. My goal really now is to have as much fun. That's one of my principles that I live by. It has to be so much fun, because
yes.
I love feeling good, and I love the energy and the momentum of growth and expansion. And, you know, I've experienced a lot of adversity, but I don't stay there anymore. I really am always, you know, seeking more opportunities and saying yes to everything I can in life that I know will grow me and bring me closer to what people would define as success.
Yeah. So when I listen to you now, it seems to me like you value yourself. You know what you bring to the table. You are not afraid to be visible. So I'm wondering, have you always been like that? And if not, how did you get there? How do I'm thinking of the people that are thinking, oh yeah, she's this great confident person. That's just not me. I'll never get there. Tell us your transformation story.
Absolutely. So the part that I didn't really talk much about, and I just touch on it now lightly because it's context. You know, I'm in recovery from addiction. I'm in recovery from an eating disorder. I'm in recovery from perfectionism and people pleasing. And my life burned to the ground in 2017. And it's really been my coming into who on earth am I? You know, when I went to rehab in 2018, I was pulled away from my family and the illusion that I was living under, that everything was perfect, and came face to face with realizing I had no relationship with myself. I hated who I was. I was ashamed of who I was. And it really, being able to look that in the face and say, okay, it's just time to, the pain is great enough. I need to figure out who I am and what on earth I'm meant to do, because everything I thought I was controlling and making perfect almost burned my life to the ground. And when I started getting into the media 18 months ago, it was tripping into a challenge, somebody's challenge about getting on TV. And I really thought, well, I'm scared to death of going live. I've never done that. My full-time painting career was only 3 months old because I only really started this again in September of 2020. And I was a little turtle. I was afraid of my own shadow. In January 2021 was my first podcast. And it was really the internal work I've done, you know, reading a lot of spiritual shifts. I really had to come to know, who am I inside? What is my perspective? What is my message? You know, one of them is that we can overcome any kind of adversity and live a joyous, free, abundant, successful life, no matter what the odds are. We don't have to be victim to anything. You know, when I shifted looking at the world that everything is happening in my favor, life is happening for me, not just to me. You know, that brought me to this place where I'm so grateful for all the adversity that brought me here. I'm so grateful for the addiction and the lost marriage and all of that. I don't blame anybody. I've released all of that, but I would still be back there living that life if it hadn't been painful enough for me to change. And anything is possible. You know, I was a very shy, camera shy, public speaking shy person. It is really through creating the most honest art of my entire life, fully abstract now, fully intuitive, and getting out here and wanting to support my family as a single mom of seven. Most of them are, three of them are out, but I still have these four teenagers, and man, the food bill.
So oh my there's
having to keep the lights on that's going to, you know, fan the flames on willingness to be outside our comfort zone and to grow and change and do things that, you know, we may have had limited beliefs around. You know, if we argue for our limitations, we get to keep them, you know, and I had spent a lifetime playing it small and dimming it down and not speaking up and not being visible. When you think of each person's most valuable thing as their contribution to the world, we are denying people an opportunity to have their lives impacted or influenced when we stay quiet. And it's taken a lot of work. You know, I do a lot of journaling every single day. I write myself into a better feeling state every morning so that I infuse those affirmations and all of the positive, you know, beliefs that I want to reinstall in my brain. And it's just experience getting out there, being willing to fumble, being willing to trip over my words, being willing to all of that. And it's been the biggest freedom. And that is what I wish for everybody.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes.
And for being vulnerable, and 'cause that's so powerful. I really, really do believe that when we, I mean, this is a perfect example of the power of story, right? You know, when you share your story and you share your journey so vulnerably, then other people can connect to that.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes we think we can only share the nice bits, we can only share the perfect bits, but no one can relate to perfect.
Right.
Because we're human beings and we're not perfect. No one can relate to that. It's when we show up authentically that other people can go, oh, yes, I relate to that.
Yes.
Those fears, those flaws. Yes, I connect to that. That's me. So, so powerful when we show up exactly how we are in honesty and vulnerability. So thank you so much for doing that.
Wow.
Really grateful.
Absolutely. Sure. I think the simple do's and don'ts, like in the context of story, in the context of vulnerability, some people feel like, oh, well, I'm supposed to just share everything then. And that is not necessarily what I mean. When people are pitching to the media, you always want to consider the audience that you're speaking to and formulate your pitch in the simplest terms, you know, really fourth grade language so that everybody can really understand clearly what it is that you're stating and make it about what you can contribute to the audience instead of making it about us. You know, a lot of artists are looking for how can I get more visibility? How can I find more collectors? And they're very me focused, which is great when you're on your personal development work. But when you're pitching to the media, it is about that audience and understanding that the editor, the writer, the journalist, their responsibility is to create the best content for their audience that is relevant and meaningful or timely or sensational sometimes, but consider that target audience who you're speaking to. And then one of the don'ts is just don't forget that the person on the other side is a person. You know, make sure to do your research in advance, spell their name correctly. Don't ramble a whole bunch and make it all about you, but really, you know, make sure to do the research around that and don't just do a wall of writing that is very unclear and difficult to read. They have very packed schedules. So the shorter, the better.
Great advice. Love that. So not only are you artist extraordinaire, but you also wrote a book.
Yes.
How amazing. So for our listeners, the book is called She Did It and So Can You. Why don't you tell us quickly what the book is about and how you came about writing it?
Sure. It was actually produced by somebody else, and it was as a result of being in the media. This woman heard my story, and it was really talking about the journey of recovery and starting my art business and abstract painting and all of that. That was all the story I really had at that point. It was the very beginning of my media journey, and she was so connected to that. She said, I'm publishing a book. It's a co-authoring collection of 17 women, and we're past the publication date, but I need to have your story in here. Will you please?
Amazing.
And I said, oh, well, of course I'm interested. It had been a dream to write a book, but I only had 1 week to do it. And it was one of those instances where I could have said, look, I have all these kids. There is no way. But instead, I was like, well, I really am focused on doing things out of my comfort zone. So
I found the possible.
Possibility. And it was a push. It was 27 hours straight that I ended up really working on.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a chapter, and I have to put that in perspective. It was not a full book. It was my part was just the one chapter. But it was near and dear to my heart. She did it, and so can you, is absolutely a message I wanted people to hear because I've lived that. I really want to overturn the stigma around addiction and single motherhood and being an artist and all of that so people know it's possible. And so it was really about overcoming adversity and the steps and strategies that I use on a daily basis to keep a strong mindset, keep a growth mindset, you know, always be looking for opportunities and possibilities instead of getting sucked back into like fear and overwhelm and anxiety and all of those traps. Yeah.
Amazing. I was going to ask you, but you may have already answered it, what you thought would be the key attributes that you found in the women who did it, so to speak, the women who actually pursued their dreams.
Yeah, all of it was really that having the courage to overcome.
Yes.
Because what was common for me is that sometimes a known pain, when we're in something that's painful or that we don't like, it's almost easier to stay in that situation because we're familiar with it. And the mind wants to protect us from that unknown. And it wants to exaggerate how bad it could be. Yes, it could be better, but it could get so much worse. And that keeps a lot of people stagnant. And it's really about that courage and willingness to overcome and to keep going in the face of adversity. That was the common theme throughout the whole book.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so slightly left field question.
Sure.
Email marketing.
Yes.
Did you use email marketing as an artist? And what role do you see it playing in your art business?
It's everything. And I, like so many so many artists in my, I have a membership, a tribe, and all of the artists I know who come in really don't want to bother people. You know, we carry this thing where we don't want to bother people. And I need to do it. We can always do a better job. I have just really, in the last 6 months, really understand the value of the email list and how it is your gold mine right there. It is can make more money with an email list than anything. And because social media can disappear at any moment, or as we see on Instagram right now, it can change dramatically in a way that might not be helpful for artists or small businesses. And to be able to own your own contacts and be able to communicate with people. Communication is your number one in growing a business. We don't have a business if we don't have revenue. And like I said, money flows through people. So it's about relationships and communication, and an email is absolutely crucial to that. So what if some people don't open it or unsubscribe? It doesn't matter. You know, it's really about communicating who you are and directing people's responses, or directing them, guiding them into what you want them to do. And sometimes that is to sell a painting or join a membership or join your program. It's valuable. And yeah, my conversion rates, and that might be a term beyond some people, but knowing the numbers, knowing the data, you know, that is so important as you grow your audience and grow your business, knowing what works and what doesn't, and really being able to look at mass emails like that and look at the numbers behind, you know, how many people opened it, and from that percentage, how many people actually clicked on the link, and from that, how many people actually purchased what I had to offer. It's so important.
Yeah, I'm being a bit cheeky because I'm a huge, huge advocate for email marketing. Like, I 100% attribute all of the success of my sold out launches to email marketing and the ability to tell a story. So, yeah. And I've got an episode planned in the future that talks all about email marketing for artists, because there's a lot of artists that are kind of, they don't want to do it. They think, no, it's salesy. I'm not a brand. But email marketing is such a powerful way to build that know, like, and trust factor.
Absolutely.
Because you get to nurture a relationship with your collectors in their inbox where when they're opening their email, they're ready to connect. They're ready to open. They're not in scroll mode. So, for the listeners, it's not just me. Email marketing 100%. Is super powerful, and I can't wait to do an episode that goes deeper into email marketing for artists.
Yeah. Selling is serving. That is really the big shift that everything changed for me when I understood that selling isn't sleazy. It's not salesy. The way people go about it can be, but in the context of, you know, imagine the role models that people have. If they never wrote the book, or if they never hosted the workshop, or they never shared their program. I think of some of my coaches, they had never opened up their high ticket program, and I hadn't had the opportunity to invest in myself in the context of their program, I would be years behind in progress. And so even a piece of artwork can change somebody's life. And if we deny someone the opportunity to buy from us because we don't want to write an email, you know, we get to stay in that limited space.
Yeah. And I think that's why as artists it's so important that we realize the value behind our work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't believe that your work is valuable, then you won't show up and you won't tell your story and you won't think it's important that people buy your work. So we need to do the hard work of uncovering our story and figuring out what is unique about our work, how is our work changing someone else's life, and realizing that art is an incredibly powerful way to change someone's mood, to change their home. It's visual. We are visual humans. We are visual communicators, and art can change the mood of a room. It can remind people of something important. It can mean something that just kind of gets them through the season. So once we understand the value of our work, then selling and marketing isn't sleazy, because we genuinely believe that we have value to offer and we want other people to have that, right?
100,000%. And that really starts with our inner world. You know, our outer world reflects our inner world. And when we're good with who we are, that is the energy we're putting into our art. It's just a visual form of communication. Like, you and I are so alike in this belief, but it is that energy. Nobody else can duplicate that. It is the creative genius within each and every artist. Even the ones that are like, well, I'm not sure if I'm an artist yet because I've never sold anything. You are absolutely that artist that has the ability to shift the energy in a room, uplift somebody, you know, cause other people to have an emotional experience just from viewing your visual translation, your interpretation of the world. And so important to build that relationship with yourself so that you create the most honest work that you can create that is a true reflection of who you are. And then you're not chasing down anybody. Then you are a magnet for people to
seek
you out and find you. How can I get on your email list? How can I get in your world? I want that. And it comes with that internal relationship with, who are we? You know, what is it that I have to offer this world? And how can I do that in my artwork?
I love the idea of that artists just need to be themselves and that the key is you. So once I accepted that who I was someone who loves metaphors. I love metaphors. I love nature. I love things with sentimental value. And once I embrace that and I use that in my art, that's when things change for me. So I started to create collections that had a narrative, and each painting had a meaning that was connected to a metaphor, and it was about hope. And once I used the way that I was uniquely created to market my work, that's when people had a massive connection with my work, because I fell in love with the story behind the artwork. And that's when I had incredible traction in terms of growth with sales. I love everything you're saying. I feel like we are so in sync. Yeah. Okay, so kind of to draw things to an end, can we end with some quick fire questions?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. What are you obsessed with at the moment?
Okay, I love this because I am literally obsessed with money mindset and wealth consciousness. I've read 6 books in the last 8 days. I'm just obsessed with it. Yeah, I have inhaled it. And law of attraction too. Anything relating to that inner work, the spiritual work of feeling the best we can feel in the world, and how to shift from scarcity to abundance. So that is my current obsession right now. And talk about a gift that keeps giving. Oh my goodness. It's incredible.
Okay, well, I'm going to have you back on the show to talk about money mindset then.
I'd love to, because that, oh my goodness, the transformation in just the last couple of weeks has been extraordinary.
Oh, wow. Okay. Something slightly less important. What do you listen to while you paint?
Yes, I switch polar opposite between super hyped, like, my trash music. It's like kids' music. You know, everything, the rap and the all of anything with a really strong beat so I can dance while I paint. And then if I'm not listening to that, I totally shift tracks 180 to binaural beats or any kind of music without lyrics that really is about shifting into different brainwave states, into the more creative alpha and theta brainwave states.
Oh, so cool. Okay, last one. What is one thing that wasn't supposed to, but has made its way into your studio and is now a forever studio item? So like for me, I have many a cups and clothes and tea towels and things that are like, oh, well, this is now a studio item.
Yeah, I have definitely all of those things. This is a random one that is not going to be common, but I have a twin bed over in the studio. Never thought it would end up over there, but now that it's there, it'll never leave because I love to work in bed. And I thought, well, I actually sit in that bed to write. I do a lot of just sitting and imagining things, you know, allowing myself to really dream big. I never planned to do this, but it's a keeper.
Oh, that sounds like a dream. I want a bed in my studio. Okay. Wow, Jess, how can my listeners get more of you? Where can they find you? How can they connect with you?
Absolutely. My handle on everything is Jessica Hughes Fine Art. I have a free gift to give everybody that anyone interested in getting right to the heart of making money quickly, even if you don't have a website, this is the way to do it. Live art shows is the fastest and most effective way to see if your art is marketable and sellable and you're practicing being visible. And that is at jesshughes.co/bananas.
I love and it.
Anyone that wants community that will be, you know, part mindset, part badass business tactics, I have an incredible membership that is called the High Vibe Badass Artist Tribe, and it is for female artists and creative entrepreneurs. At its core, there are two things. Courage is contagious, and it also works under the premise that we need community, a cultivated safe container to practice being visible. And so it really is about what it takes to grow and run an art business, but really it's about that container to practice being visible. And then the virtual live art shows is something that I'm really teaching in there because I've had women who did not have a website, hadn't really sold anything. And she went on and sold 27 paintings on her first live art show. And it is just an incredible community where incredible breakthroughs and results are happening. So that is there. I forget about this because I only open this once or twice a year. The Media Accelerator is my higher investment 8-week program, and it is really about everything it takes to gain media coverage in an 8-week span of time. It's all about messaging, pitching the media, finding the media, contacting them, and building relationships. And that is a really powerful the women that I've seen the most growth with have invested in themselves in going through that program and applying that. So those are my opportunities for community and companionship and connection and people who really get what it's about.
And investment is everything. Sometimes artists are scared to invest in themselves because they're not making money, but investing in yourself is never a waste because you are a human being. You're investing in yourself, and that is a necessary part of taking that next step and making money. So thank you so much. I will link to all of those things in the show notes. So don't worry if you're like, oh, I can't remember all of that. I'll definitely link to all of that for sure so that people can connect with you.
Great.
Oh, thank you so much. Absolutely. For sharing. So, so grateful for having you. Is it okay if I encourage you for a minute?
Sure. Yeah.
So like I was saying before, I'm a massive metaphor person. I love a good metaphor. And as I've been listening to you, the picture that just drops into my heart when I think about you is you as a gardener, which is quite funny because I know that you have those cute little overalls that you love wearing. So I just see this picture of you as a gardener just walking around a plot and watering seemingly empty plots of dirt. And even onlookers looking and going, oh, there's that crazy gardener again.
Yep.
She's watering plots of dirt. She's just watering random pieces of soil. But what they don't know and what you know is that underneath that soil, there are seeds. There are seeds with potential, and there are seeds that can grow into life. And I see you doing that work. I see you being able to see potential and life where other people can't. And I'm so grateful for the work that you do because it shows artists who maybe thought that there wasn't possibility that there is, possibility. And your belief and your faith in other people is amazing, and you're doing incredible work. Thank you so much for being the same mission. Thank you so much.
I love it. I love that vision. I love that visual. I can completely relate to it because I just genuinely believe in each and every human's ability, especially the artists. It is our time. The world needs what we have to offer. And it is time more than ever before that we step out there and are willing to cultivate the skills, be visible, to be seen, to be heard, and contribute.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Yes, I loved being here.
The best way forward is one step at a time. And by listening today, you just took one more step in the direction of your dreams. If you're looking for more, head on over to moniquestory.com. That's story with an EY. There you can get your hands on today's show notes and heaps of other free resources. Until next time, go and find your possible.